Blog Talk Radio.
You're flying high while we're on the low. Oh, oh, oh.
back. My name is Yom Suf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. And before we get started, I simply want to make a comment about something. Did you listen to the lyrics of that song? Don't know your past, don't know your future. Quite true. I was thinking that that's one of the reasons why they are so quick and eager to call you black. Ham. Because you don't know your past. You certainly don't know your future. And you certainly don't know the power in knowing who you are. Yes, there is power in knowing who you are. But certainly when you obscure it by these adjectives, such as so-called black/American, you're simply totally confused about everything. You don't know the rock you were hewn from, nor the ditch you were dug from. You don't know how to approach your Elohim, Yah, praise and bless his holy name, because you are approaching your enemy's God, little g. So there is no power in that. Perhaps your enemies get some sort of power from it, but you certainly get no power at all from it. So it's imperative that you study right along with us, which is we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and the rock you were hewn from, and the ditch you were dug from. It's quite imperative so you can get real power. Us power. Not them power. Us power. So you can invoke those words throughout the universe and stop calling yourself black/Americans. What an insult. But they're quite eager to call you that and quick to call it. I see it all the time with the talking heads on the newscast. Oh, the black Americans, the blackity black, and so-called black. And you just skinning and grinning because you don't know who you are and what you are. You think that's advantageous. You think they're lifting you up. But in reality, they're tearing you down. It is not a pickup. It's a pick me down. That's another reason why it's imperative to know the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from, so you can tap into that power. And once you tap into that power, it's all good. Praise God. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have problems, but you tapped into the source of who you are, and what you should be doing. And you tapped into your God, your Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and stop being black/Americans. Be who you are. Be proud of it. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And perhaps you are wondering, quite rightly, Yom Suf Arif, what are you? I'm a student teacher, as we all should be in life. You learn and you share. That's what I am, along with Cottrell of New York City and Sister Abia of New York City. They know they'll never graduate, just like I know I never graduate. I remain a student teacher. I will never master this, but I do my damnedest to try to know who I am, and what I should be doing. And certainly to know I, Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, Yah is his name, and so on and so forth. And what do I know about Cottrell and Sister Avia? Here's what I know about them and what you need to know about them. When you're laying on your behind, eating bun buns and cupcakes, and watch reality shows while your reality passes you by, they're here. While you're laying down on Yah and your people, they're here. And the primary reason why they're here, because they love the Most High with all their hearts, all their mind, all their soul, and all their strength. And they love their brothers and sisters as they love themselves. Meaning, they don't get paid for none of this. They do it as a labor of love for Yah and for you. That's why they do it. Because they're tapped in. They know the importance. They know they're duty-bound and morally obligated to do no less. When you know better, you teach better. It's just that simple. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. So without further ado, let me bring on Sister Abia. Sister Abia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom. Okay, that's right. Sister Avia can't talk. Sister Avia, I'm going to leave your mic on, but I'm proceed on to Katria. Katria, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Yamsu. All praise to the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bless you all, my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. And you're absolutely right, in everything you said. We got educator fools out there still calling our people black.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we learned from Black History Month? Have we learned our past?
I like the way you said that. What did we learn from Black History Month?
What did we learn?
Nothing.
Dr. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks. Is that our past or just a part, a piece, a little slice of our past?
Slice of history, not our past.
And where's that going to take us? We keep talking about Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman and all that. But we ain't going deep enough. Because first of all, it shouldn't even be called Black History Month. What is that?
Exactly.
Is there a White History Month, a Yellow History Month, a Red History Month?
Okay, I'm stop. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Now, you started it, man. I mean, yeah, it pees me when I see our educated fools out there grinning, like you said, like a Cheshire cat. When they call our people black voters, African American, they're too lazy to really dig into our past, our roots, to find out
exactly
where we were and where we need to be going and how
exactly
the hell we got here.
Exactly. No, they just want you to believe that your history started right at these borders when you arrived there buck naked and in chains. That's where they want you to believe.
And they'll tell you, the white man came to Africa and civilized us.
Oh, is that right?
Ain't that a blip?
Ain't that
yeah
a blip?
When we know the opposite is true. The Greeks came down to Egypt and what they call the Middle East.
Right.
And learned some civilizations. The Greeks started with the Greeks.
Exactly. I heard they stole the one that they didn't burn. He stole all the Egyptians' reading material and studies and mathematics and so on and so forth.
You know why they did that?
I know.
Because they couldn't read. They was illiterate.
Exactly.
You know how illiterate people do. They don't
exactly
give a damn about books. They'll burn them.
Go ahead, brother. I got a call coming in. Hold on.
Sound like an emergency.
Yeah. Hold on. You keep talking, Katria.
Like, why are they calling you now? 7 o'clock. They know you got a show. But anyway, we got to know history. And when we know history, we know the Greeks came later after Mizraim. We say Egypt because that's convenient. And we're familiar with that. But Mizraim, son of Ham, taught the Greeks, the Japhites, civilization. And that's the history they leave out in school. They don't want us to know that not only did civilization start, or human race start in Africa, but civilization was given to the Europeans via Africa. Now I'm calling it the land of Ham.
Sorry, Katria. I had to take that call. Sorry, students, I had to take that call. Katria, did you finish, my brother?
Katria. A little history lesson. Yes, sir. A little history lesson on the Greeks and Mizraim and Kush. That's where Europeans got their knowledge from, Mizraim and Kush. They say
exactly
Ethiopia and Egypt, but they came to Africa. We was talking about Black History Month, but they're going to go back into the history of Mizraim or Cush or Israel or the Philistines or the Canaanites or these people that existed, had civilizations centuries before the Greeks.
Well, they don't want to share with you what they want you to know. Not all that you need to know. That's just been the way it is. Now, if you trust in them for that, I don't know what to say about you. Given the history that we have in this country, not had because it's a continual process, given the history that we have in this country, it would be foolhardy to trust anything they said, truth be told.
Well, I say they couldn't burn everything because they needed a lot of the knowledge that they stole.
Exactly.
And therefore, they didn't want to educate us because they figured we would research and find out the truth. They never figured out that we would research and find out the truth. But praise Yah, he allowed us to do that. And that understanding of what went on in the past is still there. You can find it. All you got to do is your due diligence.
Your due diligence. Put in the work. It's just that simple.
Yep.
Put in the work. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Praise Yah.
And some people satisfied not knowing who they are. It's only your past, only your future. Some people satisfied living in oblivion, living in ignorance.
Yep.
They don't care. They don't mean nothing to me. History.
Yeah, they love this stalling talent. This stalling. Not going forward, not going backward, not making lateral moves, just stalling. They love this. Thank you, Godrell. Thank you, fellas. Before they thank the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Remember yesterday we told you the act of doing things with indifference or complacency, not paying attention to details, can get you killed when it comes to Yah. Yah takes himself quite seriously, and certainly should we not be indifferent toward him. We become quite indifferent toward him. We are complacent in our approach to him. But Yah will show you he's not indifferent to himself, and he's not complacent with things. He tells you in detail. And obviously, these two young fellows took Yah for granted, and they're going to suffer the consequences. And certainly are you if you take Yah for granted. There's a lesson to be learned here. Chapter 10 of Ba'yikra. Okay?
It's Ba'yikra.
Ba'yikra. I got that southern thing going. Give me. But it's spelled B-A-Y-I-K-R-A.
Yeet.
Ba-ri-ka. Okay.
Yeet.
And it means
yeet.
Yeet. Yeet. Ba-ri-ka.
Ba-ri-ka.
Right. And it means Yah is calling. He's not calling for you to be indifferent and complacent. He's calling for you to pay attention to details in his regard. Let's study and find out.
And Yasu, before you go further,
right?
It's so important what you just said, because everything that Yah tells us to do has a meaning and a purpose. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but when he tells you to do something or commands us to do something, it's for a reason. And we may not understand it, we may not see it, but it's for a reason.
Right.
Only he may know.
Praise Yah, Kadri. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Thank you. And it goes on to say in these studies that Nadab and Abihu, I didn't see the B, I thought it was A, Abihu, these were the sons of Aaron. Now, here's the offense they did. Each took his censer and put fire. Now, we don't know what his fire derived from. But however it derived, it wasn't the fire that the Most High told them to use and put incense on it and offer profane fire before the Lord. So wherever they got this fire from, it was not authorized by Yah, which he had not commanded them. So the fire went out from Yah and devoured them, set them on fire. And they died before Yah. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what Yah spoke saying. By those who come near me. And what is the word I use? No regard. Yah said, I must be regarded as holy. Don't take me for granted. I ain't one of your homeboys or homegirls, okay? and before all the people. I must be glorified. Yah said, you got to lift me up. Don't play with me. Don't pick me to play with. I ain't your homeboy. I ain't your homegirl. Don't step to me like that. And Yah showed it. So Aaron held his peace because Aaron was being warned by Moses. Then Moses called Mishael and Elisaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, their uncle, and said to them, come near, carry your brethren from the sanctuary out of the camp. Get them out of here. So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron, yeah, go ahead, Cartrell.
So, Mishael and
Elisaphan. Right.
They're Moses and Aaron's cousins.
Right.
You realize because Uzziel is their uncle.
Exactly.
And these two young brothers are their cousins. They're not priests. They're from the same tribe, from the same house.
Right.
And you notice that Aaron and his sons, his other sons, can't put their hands on their brother or their son. So they have to get somebody else to come in and take them out while they're going through this consecration process.
Exactly. Because they will become unclean. And to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, Aaron's other two sons, do not uncover your heads. No, don't go into mourning, nor tear your clothes, lest you die. Y'all said, I ain't going to have that mourning and crying and snot running out of your nose. Okay? Y'all got a job to do. Stay focused. Okay? It don't stop because the kid, they casket drops. They did that on their own. This ain't the time nor the place for this. You got to carry on. Man up. Priest up. Carry on. They brought it upon themselves. Y'all said, least you die. And wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren.
So think about that. Think about that.
Yeah.
Because they're in a they're not in a common state. They just been anointed, consecrated, and set aside. And for that to happen, that uncleanness to be in their midst, it would shut that whole process down. And they would have to start all over again unless the Most High killed them because the holy and the profane can't dwell together.
Right. And it's just that on that.
So
y'all may think that's right. That's not cruel. The process
that a priest is not supposed to be at anybody's funeral. That's the point I want to make.
Exactly.
We see the Catholic Church, they bring dead bodies in there, and the priest prays and throw holy water on them and all that. No. That's a violation. That's an abomination. And you see it even here with the initiation of the priesthood in the nation of Israel. Aaron lost two of his sons. He couldn't touch them, nor could his other two sons. They had to get somebody else to pull them out and continue the process.
Exactly. The process must continue, Kaja. Come hell or high water. Praise Yah. See, we have to take the seriousness of our relationship with Yah. And the seriousness of our approach to Yah, Yah is not going to put anything on skid. Yah ain't going to put the brakes on his processes. And it's something you have to take quite serious. You're duty-bound and morally obligated as far as Yah is concerned. Certainly these priests, and certainly in some regards to us, when Yah calls us to do certain things, such as cry out for yourselves. Pray to Yah for yourselves. Cry for your anxious the mistakes they made to get us in the situation we find ourselves in. Such as, gather yourselves together. Not simply in a certain proximity, but your whole endeavors. And let the Most High footstep be your pathways. Be on the same wavelength, so to speak. Also, taking care of the widows when needed, a call for an opportunity to present itself. The orphans, the poor. And learning to do good. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Gotcha. Anything else, brother?
Yeah. it shows the seriousness of the call of Yah. Not only did he call Moses to put the priesthood in place, he's calling the sons of Aaron and Aaron to be priests. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these two young men took it lightly, because we read last night where the glory of Yah came when they did what they had to do. And in these two brothers' mind, they think they could just summon Yah at any old time with the fires that they presented, obviously. We remember that fire came from the Most High. It didn't come from Aaron or Moses or anybody else. That fire that burnt that burnt offering came from the Most High. And I'm thinking if they try to duplicate that, and they couldn't. Mm-hmm. But they could, because that same fire that they was trying to invoke burnt them up. Because that fire that burnt them up came from the Most High.
Praise Yah, Katriel. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
You can't duplicate Yah. You said a mouthful there, Katriel. Try as you may. And Yah says, thank you, Katriel, again. Lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, your cousins, the whole house of Israel, well, beware the burning which Yah has kindled. Don't be crying for them. Beware the burning which Yah has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. Why? For the anointed oil and Yah is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. See, don't be crying for them. Be crying that Yah don't put that wrath on you. Okay? Because they brought that upon themselves. These young brothers knew better. They decided to test Yah. And they received the consequences of their actions. A domino effect. Cause and effect, as we call it. Because Yah told them.
And it's almost like they sacrificed themselves unwittingly.
Yeah.
Yah said, don't come near me with no foolishness.
Right.
Because I don't play. Right. And he wasn't playing. And he took them two brothers out with fire. Aaron and his brothers, the brothers that died, couldn't mourn for them. But the people could. He's like, take them out and let the people mourn for them. This is how serious this process is. You being priests on this call got to be focused on what we're doing here. Because you'll die and you'll cause the people to die.
Exactly. It's something serious.
Wasn't just about your sons. Yeah. It ain't just about your sons. So Aaron and his, the sons that were left couldn't throw their hands in the air and say, nah, I'm not doing this. You're going to do this. I'm going to mourn my brothers regardless. I don't care what y'all say. My two brothers are dead. I'm going to cry for them. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not.
They knew better. That's on them. Praise Yah.
That's a heavy situation.
Yeah, but if Yah require it, you got to step up. You got to step up, brother. Dealing with Yah, you got to step up.
That's why I don't take lightly when people talk about they anointed, they consecrated, they sanctified. Nah, you're playing with fire right there.
Exactly.
Real fire.
Real fire. Praise Yah, Katriel.
Praise
now the, thank you, Katria. Now, conduct prescribed for priests, how you must comport yourself and your conduct. Then Yah spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink. You nor your sons with you. He didn't say they couldn't drink it, but there's a time and place for them to drink it. And he said, when you go into the tabernacle meeting, lest you die. Now, it's a time and place for everything. Don't come up in here drunk. Don't come up in here inebriated. There's a time and place for those priests to drink or intoxicating drink. But it wasn't up in that temple.
Obviously, that's what they had done.
You know what, Contrail? You may be right, bro. But y'all to pointedly point this out to them. Thank you, Contrail.
Yeah, sorry, gang.
They probably was drunk. You know your sons with you when you go into the tabernacle meeting, lest you die. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations that you may distinguish that you understand between holy and unholy, what you can and what you can't do in my regard. between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes, when you went and not drunk and inebriated, which Yah has spoken to them by the hand of Moses, even in your teachings. And Moses spoke to Aaron and said to Eleazar and Itamar, his sons, who were left, take the grain offering that remains of the offering made by fire to Yah. Eat it without leavened bread beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due of the sacrifices made by fire to Yah. For so I have commanded. The breast of the wave offering, the thigh of the heave offering, you shall eat in a clean place. And he asked it his daughters too, the priests, high priest daughters and the priest daughters. You, your sons, your daughters with you. For
wasn't no celibacy.
Yeah, no. And their daughters, add them into the equation.
Yes.
Yeah. But these daughters.
So we're talking.
Yeah. Go ahead, Katria.
We're talking about the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, and we don't tend to see the women that are involved with them,
yeah.
Their wives, their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they, too, can partake of these holy articles means
right.
That the priest had a family that was holy.
But that being said, Katriel, be aware of this fact. If either one of those sons or daughters were unclean for whatever reason, I would strongly advise and suggest them not partake of that meal, okay? Because that is holy. Praise Yah.
That's what the rules state.
You're right.
That's why the rules were laid out like that, because it was more than just the priest that was there that was partaking in those meals. It was the priest and his family.
Exactly.
But the priest is the one that teaches Yah his word to the people. We're doing it now because we don't have no priests.
Exactly.
But it was them who actually took that as an obligation to make sure that the nation, the people in the nation knew the Most High's word.
Praise Yah. Thank you, Katria. And you certainly correct. And your daughters, for they are your due and your sons. Due which are given from the sacrifices of peace offering of the children of Israel, the thigh of the heave offering, the breast of the wave offering, they shall bring with the offering of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Elohim. And it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever as Yah has commanded.
So, if you remember, when Moses initiated this whole thing, he ate the breast offering, right?
Right.
It was for him because he was the initiator of this holy consecration ceremony.
Right.
Now it goes to the high priest and the priest.
And,
Moses don't have no part in it. And he's telling them, when the people bring these offerings up, they belong to you and your family. And they're most holy. Can't nobody else touch it.
Exactly. Yes, they were transferred over. Praise Yah. From Moses to Aaron, high priest, and his sons. Thank you, God. Then Moses made careful inquiry about the goat of the sin offering, and there it was burned up. He was angry with Eleazar and Itamar, the sons of Aaron, who were left, saying, why have you not eaten the sin offering in a holy place, since it is most holy? You burned it up. And Yah has given it to you to bear the guilt of the congregation to see atonement for them before Yah. See, his blood was bought inside the holy place. Indeed, you should have eaten it in a holy place as I commanded. Why don't you burn it up? And Aaron said to Moses, look, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before Yah, and such things have befallen me because they didn't do everything as was they were required to do. And he said, I'm sort of perplexed about it in a way. I had anxiety about this. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of Yah? If I had eaten this would have been accepted. He's telling them the transference is taken over to you. You're duty-bound and more obligated to do no less and do everything in detail what was told. I can't eat that now. So when Moses heard that, he was content. When he heard they accepted his analogy of what had taken place, you're in charge of the priesthood, your daddy the high priest, you're next in line. You had a moral obligation and duty bound to eat that sin offering, that goat. Why didn't you eat it? It's not mine anymore. It's yours. This your job. This ain't my job no more. But obviously, whatever Moses heard, he was content. They understood. This ain't Moses' part no more. This daddy part and this our part. Praise Yah and bless his holy name, Katria. Any commentaries in that regard, Katria?
Yeah, it was kind of a way that Aaron and his two sons that were left were mourning the loss of their brothers,
right.
Nadab and Abihu, and their son.
Right. Right.
It also shows that the priests are supposed to eat these offerings when
exactly.
you bring them.
You have to follow
which
through.
Which means that on the Day of Atonement, when the Most High says you're supposed to afflict your soul and everybody fasts, the priests don't fast because they have to eat a part of the offering. That's the part of the whole cycle of the offering. They must eat it. This is one of the exceptions that they didn't eat it because they lost their family members. But Moses was angry with them
right.
because they didn't complete the cycle. But he understood where they were coming from.
Right. But he still had to instruct them so they could understand where Yah is coming from. And
right.
Yah said, you must eat that sacrifice. I don't care if you're crying or whatever going on with you. There's a process that must be completed. But as I said, Moses understood. But I believe he understood, contrary, because he understood that they understood. This processes has to be completed. Nothing left out under no circumstances. Whatever's going on with you, it don't matter because it don't mean nothing. Complete the processes. Praise Yah, Katria.
And Moses also could understand because Nadab and Abihu was his nephews.
Right.
And in those days, your nephews were like your own sons.
Yep. They grew up around you.
That's why he told his cousins. He didn't call them cousins. He called it, tell your brothers to come get their brothers and take them out. Because they didn't have the word cousins. Your cousin
right.
was your brother.
Exactly. So you can understand the impact and effect with the loss of my nephew that it had upon me. I grew up around him since he was a little baby. So, you know, obviously if you love your family, it's going to have a certain impact upon you. And Cottrell is so right in that regard. Even some of us still consider our nephews, our sons, and so on and so forth, our brethren. And so it all be. Praise Yah.
It shows the strength and character of Moses. He understood
exactly.
the seriousness of the mission. Because he should have been affected too. Like, why you kill my nephews? Why you kill my brother's sons? Give him another chance. He didn't even have a chance to plead for them. But he realized the seriousness of the circumstances of the anointing, consecration, and sanctification process. And
praise
it wasn't a joke.
No, it's something serious, Cartier. It's something serious.
Don't tell me you sanctified and you anointed and all that. I don't want to hear it. You know you ain't studied.
Me either.
You ain't studied.
Me
either. Throwing words around like that? No, stop it.
And take Yah seriously because Yah takes himself seriously. Praise Yah and glorify and bless his holy name. It's true, Katria.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Katria, if you're done, we're done.
Yes,
we're
sir.
Ready. Proceed, my brother, to your segment of the study and the Psalms/Songs. And this is the Psalm/Song 68, the glory of Yah and his goodness to Israel. Listen, listen. Listen, the glory of Yah and his goodness to Israel. We don't even deserve it. Let me repeat that. The glory of Yah and his goodness to Israel. Took us out of Mizraim. We didn't know who we were, what we were, and what we should be doing. Took us out of baby into the wilderness. Brought us out of a fresh nation with new blood, old blood, dead after 40 years wandering. This new blood, this fresh blood, and making them into a nation. The goodness is goodness to Israel. And this song was sent to the chief musician. And it is a psalm of our wonderful King David. A song.
All praises.
All praises. All right, Cottrell.
Yes, sir. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His creation of our great King, King David, with the talent and abilities and skills and the gifts that you blessed him with. We just read about the glory of the Most High 2 nights ago. And tonight, we read about two of Aaron's sons who tried to reenact the glory of Yah. And here we have King David writing a song about it. I don't know how that happened, but talking about synchronization, coincidence, the glory of Yah and the goodness to Israel. But he definitely showed his goodness and showed us his glory at the same time. All praise. Psalm 68, Song of King David. Let Elohim arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them who hate him also flee before him. Can you imagine that? Hating your creator? I can't even handle that. But there's people out there who hate the creator. Bad for them. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melt before fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of Elohim. Yeah, because the presence of Elohim ain't no joke. Just found that out tonight with Nadab and Abihu. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before Elohim, which is what you should do every day. Rejoice and be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Once you get to know Yah, you should be happy and you should be glad. Sing to Elohim. Sing praises to his name. You're out there singing to Jesus and anybody else. And I haven't heard one song except the tight-knit group that I'm with. We sing praises to the name of the Father, Yah. Got praise plenty God. Of songs in. Praise Yah. Extol him who rides on the clouds that he created. To Yah, his name. Y'all don't know his name? It's in Psalm 68. King David will tell you. And it's saying Jesus, is it? Did he say Jesus? Or did it say Yah? Yah is his name. Rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows is Elohim in his holy habitation. Did you mention something about the fatherless and the widows, Yamsuk? So our focus should be the same focus as the Most High's focus. He's a father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. Elohim sets the lonely families. He brings out the prisoners with singing. That's my department, working on the prison outreach department. And may Yah help me, because he's the one who brings out prisoners with singing. But the rebellious dwell in a sun-scorched land. You want to be rebellious? Yah going to leave you out there. Elohim, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth trembled. The sky also poured down rain at the presence of Elohim of Sana, at the presence of the Elohim of Israel. You, Elohim, sent a plentiful rain. You confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation lived therein. You, Elohim, prepared your goodness for the poor. Yah announced the word. Are y'all listening? The ones who proclaim it are a great company. Kings of armies flee. They flee. She who waits at home devours the plunder while you sleep among the campfires. The wings of a dove, sheathed with silver. Her feathers with shining gold. when the Almighty scattered kings in her. It snowed in Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic mountains. The mountains of Bashan are rugged. Why do you look in envy, you rugged mountains, at the mountain where Elohim chooses to reign? Yes, Yah will dwell there forever. The chariots of Elohim are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. What are we talking about here? They call them today UFOs, UAPs. Most often he got ten thousands of thousands. Yah is among them from Sinai into the sanctuary. You have ascended on high. You have led away captives. You have received gifts among people. Yes, among the rebellious also, that Yah Elohim might dwell there. Blessed be Yah, who daily bears our burden. Yah watching out for us. Got our back. Even Elohim, who is our salvation. Who's our salvation, according to King David?
Elohim.
Rise upon the clouds. Yeah. Yes, sir. Elohim is to us a Elohim of deliverance. Who going to deliver us, Yamsu?
Yah, brother.
Did he say a
yeah.
Messiah?
No, not the Republican
Did he say
Party. Not the Democratic
no.
Party. Not Jesus. No, no, none of that. Didn't say Jesus, didn't say the Republican Party, Democratic Party, Independent Party. No, it didn't say neither one of them.
And even King David, the Messiah, knows who bringing salvation. He know he ain't bringing it. He know he's not bringing deliverance. He knows that Elohim, and he told you what his name was. He reminds
right.
us. He said, Yah is going to do this. He says to Yah, the Elohim belongs escape from death. Oh, he dropped it in there, son. He dropped it in there. But Elohim will strike through the heads of his enemies. The hairy scalp was such as one as still continues in his guiltiness. Keep on with yourself. Go ahead. Yah said, I will bring you again from Bashan. I will bring you again from the depths of the sea, that you may crush them, dipping your foot in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your possessions. They have seen your possessions, Elohim, even the possessions of my Elohim, my king, into the sanctuary. He's talking about them chariots and the thousands and thousands, tens of thousands. The singers went before, the minstrels followed after her, among the ladies playing with tambourines. We don't do that too much no more, do we?
No, my brother.
Computer tech, putting out music. Bless Elohim and the congregation. Yes, bless Yah, oh my soul. So it's good to give thanks unto the Most High and sing praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Even Yah, in the assembly of Israel, congregations and assemblies, what's that? That means us coming together in unity, not staying at home by yourself, thinking that Yah gonna save you. Congregations and assemblies mean people coming together in one accord to bless Elohim. That's what we gotta do. And looking in that assembly and in those congregations, he said, there's little Benjamin, their ruler, the princes of Judah, their council, the princes of Zebulun, and the princes of Naphtali. He's saying the nation come together in the congregations, in the assembly. He's witnessing with his eyes in a unity. Your Elohim has commanded your strength. Strengthen, Elohim, that which you have done for us. Don't we need that now?
You better believe it.
Don't we need that now? Strengthen us, Yah, in that which you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bring presents to you. We already know that temple is built, and Yah gonna land it in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. We might build the foundation, but that joint is already built.
Exactly.
He viewed the wild animals of the beasts, the multitude of the bulls, the calves of the people, being humbled. Have we been humbled yet, Yamsu?
No, my brother, I'm afraid not. To everyone.
Okay. We need to be
to
humbled.
To everyone, not some of us.
You better start humbling yourself before Yah humbles you. Being humble, may it bring bars or silver. Scatter the nations that delight in war. Don't we need that now?
You better
don't
believe it.
Don't we need that now? Princes shall come out of Egypt. Uh-oh. I'm going to say Mizraim. Princes shall come out of Mizraim. And that's the Greek term, Egypt. It ain't going to be no white people. Princes shall come out of Mizraim, which means Ham's son is still alive.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Y'all's calling them princes. White people want to say Ham is cursed black. No. Y'all calls Mizraim princes. Uh-oh. That's why you're still studying their dead bodies and stealing their gold. As we speak.
Exactly.
Cush. They say Ethiopia. Cush shall hurry to stretch out her hands to Elohim. So that's another Hamite. Can't be prejudiced against the Hamites because they know Elohim too.
Mm-hmm.
Cush and Mizraim. They done learned their lessons. They know their history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sing to Elohim, you kingdoms of the earth, because Cush and Mizraim, they already know.
Yeah.
Sing praises to Yah. All the earth, all the nations should be doing that. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens. Do you know where that's at? Do you know about that? The heavens of heavens? I'm trying to get to heaven. But what about the heavens of heavens? Do you know about that? Okay. You think Yah's in heaven. Oh, you're Christian. You're going to heaven. You're pearly gates. And you're going to walk all over God's heaven. No. Yah's in the heaven of heavens. Are you going to be there?
I don't think so.
Which are, behold, he utters his voice, a mighty voice. And if you knew your history, because you're Israelite, you know that when Yah spoke to us, it scared the doo-doo out of us.
Yep.
Scared the mess out of us.
I got another word for it, but I won't.
Yes. When Yah utters his voice, he says, the earth trembles and the heaven shakes. He hasn't spoken in a long time, but he intends to speak. He got a date. Ascribe strength to Elohim. His excellency is over Israel. I'm going to say it again. Ascribe strength to Elohim, all your people out there. His excellency, woo-wee, is over Israel. His strength is in the sky. Don't the Most High keep the foundations of the sky in place? The ozone, the atmosphere? Yeah, that's amazing to me. I've been in a science class. They say space is a vacuum. And they show how tiny planet Earth is in the galaxy, in the scheme of the universe. And my question is, as vast as the universe and the galaxy is, where there is no oxygen, how come that just doesn't suck up little tiny Earth's atmosphere? Because Yah, his strength and power is to hold that down. You are awesome, Elohim, in your sanctuaries. Because everywhere you go, there's air, right? The Elohim of Israel, his strength and power to his people. Don't we need that now?
And what did I say?
You're looking for power from... Huh?
What did I say at the beginning of the show? They want to call names that does not subscribe to you. Therein, you're disconnected from your power, your awesome power with Yah. You have to know who you are, the rock you came from, and the ditch you were dug from, and you need to know Yah to plug into that power, that awesome power. Because he gives strength and power to his people. No one else. He gives strength and power to his people, that power, that strength. We must need today.
And we ain't talking about black power.
No, brother, we ain't talking about none of that. That's an insult.
We are not talking about black power. We're talking about the God of Israel giving strength and power to his people. For God's sake, we got to give more power to the people. Yes, where are we going to get that strength from? Where are we going to get that power from? God of Israel. Praise be to Elohim. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Love you, David.
Hallelujah.
I love his lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I love his song. I hope y'all do too.
He keeps it real. Fellow students, It's been delightful for Cottrell and I to bring you Yah's word, as always. We hope it's been informative for you. We hope we broke it down to you like you were 4 years old. We're not trying to make you feel less than, but like you're novices. You didn't know, but now you know you're duty-bound and obligated, more than obligated to do no less than follow Yah's word, letting his footsteps be your pathways, being humble before the Most High, submitting yourself to Yah, and learning, and perhaps Yah will let you plug into that power and strength, because it's much needed. It's because we're crazy as we want to be. You see, all the time, we're doing crazy stuff because we're not plugged into Yah. We are monstrosity because we're not plugged into Yah. We have no strength because we're not plugged into Yah. We have no power, none whatsoever, because we're not plugged into Yah. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katrio, any closing remarks and comments?
Well, praise the Holy One Yisrael. It's a nice spiritual buffet. And I think some people should go back to the table and get some more food. Spiritual food. Because this is what we need right here. If we lift up our voices to Yah and ask them to put us on the right direction, humbling us, all these things will be in effect for us. Because Yah's excellency in this song, he says, is over Yisrael. And we're so lacking because we're so all focused, and we don't study. We don't know. So tonight was a whole buffet. And I just hope that it takes root spiritually with our people. All praise to the Most High. Love you.
Praise Yah and bless his holy name, Katriel, my brother and dear friend. You said a mouthful. Praise Yah. That being said, we love y'all, and may the Most High bless y'all. Tomorrow, people. Shalom. Yeah.